I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
This is a very sensitive subject.
My name is Patrick Hester, his name is John Anilio, and you're listening to The Functional Nerds, just the two of us.
Hello, everybody. It is John Anilio and Patrick Hester here for you. This is our second attempt at recording this, just the two of us. The last time I was having router issues and things were dropping out, and we were just like, you know what? Screw it. And we were having, and you know, as people know, we batch record, so we were doing that at the end, and one of our guests, we had a bail on the guest too because they were having issues on their end as well, and we would have normally done like four episodes on a Saturday. We ended up only doing two, but I went out and bought a new router.
Yes, and I want to like tell us about your new router, John.
Oh well, this is going to be some sexy router talk,
this is,
everybody.
This is nerdy talk right here.
This is nerdy talk. So. I did some research. Oh, and I found this out. And I was talking to well, I should also mention that Patrick and I are on a recent episode of Current Geek, which is a Frog Pants show with Scott Johnson and Tom Merritt. And they were cool enough to have us on. And we had a great time over there. And you should go look for that because it's funny. There's like a quiz where Patrick and I battle each other in a quiz. And I won't say who won, but I'll say the nerdier person won. How about that?
You know what? I had some hard questions.
You had some damn hard questions, and you knew all my questions too.
I did know all your questions.
you would have done better with my questions. But anyway, so I was explaining this to Tom and Scott the night before. The router that I did have, my wife and I were talking about it, and she was like, "We bought that router when we lived in Denville. Now, Denville is like three living spaces. So that router was at least like 13 years old.
Wow.
At least. Because we lived in we've been living here for about 3 years. We lived in our other place for 10 years. So that means it's like 13, 14 years old. It was just some old Linksys. And she was like, "Yeah, you know, when we got that, there was like no streaming video and like you didn't really do much streaming audio. And the fact that that router was chugging along for as long as it did is impressive." So I just went and I did some research on good routers and I asked people on Facebook. And so the one I got the Google OnHub, which I forget the name of the actual company that makes this. Asus makes one of them. I don't have the Asus one. I have the other kind. I forget which it's called, but it is a very expensive router. It was $200. And from all the reviews, like CNET and all those reviews, everybody's like, it's way overpriced. It's way overpriced. But I read all of the actual like user reviews and there were just hundreds upon hundreds of, "This is the best thing I ever spent money on. And just, it makes your life so much better and it'll solve all your router problems. And it's so easy to set up." And it's just glowing reviews. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care how much it costs. I want it. And I got it. And it has solved all my problems already because it was crapping out. I would have to restart my, reboot everything at least five or six times a day. It wasn't that bad until about the past 2 months. And the past 2 months, it's just like my son would be watching all his videos and they would crap out and he would start yelling and screaming and all sorts of problems I was having. So it's the Google OnHub. I really like it. It's like that's my pick of the week. So
Sorry, John, you actually broke up. Could you start over?
Oh, please don't say that. Because I'm going to swear how awesome my router is and then I'm still going to crap out here.
I had to upgrade mine about, 2 years ago, I want to say.
Yeah.
Because I have Comcast and I have their, I actually have the business class.
Okay.
And I have the business class, not the, oh, what do they call it? It's just a higher level of streaming and all mm-hmm. that kind of good stuff. And I have that specifically because of what we do and because mm-hmm. of what I did for SF Signal for so many years. You know, I wanted a really good, strong connection for all of the podcasting that we do. And also because I push up these massive audio files.
Right.
You know, a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And a couple years ago, I started getting letters from Comcast that said, look, your modem and router are crap, and you're not even getting the speeds that you're paying for.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And so they like to do the thing where you rent it from them.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to replace the one that I had purchased with one that I would rent from them. The reason I purchased one is because when I had their modem and my router, anytime I had a problem, they said it was my router.
Right.
And so I replaced my router and they said, no, it's still your router. And I'm like, no, I have a brand new router. No, it's mm-hmm. your router. Mm-hmm. Bullshit. So yeah. Finally, I got an all-in-one that works specifically with Comcast, and that's what I have now. And it, cool. it actually, you can have dozens of devices on it at the same time. It's got yeah. multiple networks and all this kind of crap. And mm-hmm. I kind of like it. It's neat.
Yeah, the Google On Hub is a dual band. It's like, you know, 2.5 megahertz and 5 megahertz. And it's really good. Because, you know, at any given time, we can have up to like 5 things hooked up to it. Between, we have 2 laptops, we have 2 phones, we have an iPad, we have the Roku player. I mean, so we got a lot going on with it. And it's been great. Because I also, you know, with the Roku player, I do the thing with the remote, with your earbuds into the remote. And that goes over Wi-Fi. And what was happening with that was the sound would crap out of that 4 or 5 times while watching something. I'd have to like take the batteries out and reboot the remote. So since I've gotten the new router, that's fine too. So I just, you know, my old router couldn't handle what we were doing anymore. So it's, and I didn't mind spending that much money. Cause I'm like, this is really money for the last 5 routers that I should have gotten. Cause I think people buy a new router like every 3 or 4 years usually. And I'm just like, yeah, this is 12 years worth of router. I can just, and this is one of those ones that's a little bit future-proof because it's constantly going to be searching for like firmware updates, and Google apparently is going to just keep it going. And because there's a USB port on this, which doesn't do anything right now. Mm-hmm. They're like, that doesn't do anything now, but eventually it will do something. So we're going to put it in because you'll probably need a USB port for that.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could use that USB port for your like Amazon Prime TV?
Oh, yeah.
It and can then do stream that, too. That to any TV in the house. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's I know you could do things, and that might be a thing that you can do with it eventually down the line. So, but I'm really pleased with it just because I haven't had to reboot it once. It's been up there. We've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and now I feel confident because like I was after the last couple times we've tried to podcast this way, it's really been bad, especially the last time. And I'm just like, you know, we got to get it. So now we can do it from my home if we have to. Awesome. And it's probably better than the one my in-laws have now. Anyway, they have some Fios one that's brand new. That's like in their basement or something. I don't know. Anyway, but cool. Well, that is some scintillating router talk.
So in the history of this podcast, I just want folks to understand that John has podcasted from his garage, mm-hmm. from his car, from yes. his in-laws' house, uh-huh. and from like 2 different places that you guys have lived.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in yeah. your kitchen, you've been in bedrooms. I mean, you've been mm-hmm. all over the place. You travel quite a bit for podcasting.
You know what? It's that whole us being consistent because it's like, well, what's the solution here? You know, we got to figure something out, and that's when we can do it. And you know, like I said, we usually batch record, but you know, Patrick's busy on weekends for a little while. So we're doing it at different times, and certain guests, you go by what they can do. You know, for the most part, people just kind of do our schedule, but sometimes you get a certain kind of guest of a certain stature where you're just like, yeah, we'll do it whenever they can do it. And then it's like, well, then I can't do it here because something is going on here. So
well, yeah. And for the sake of the listener, I mean, we're recording this in the beginning of June.
Right.
And what John's talking about is next weekend, I have my critique group. The weekend after that, I'm going to Devon Comic Con. The weekend after that, I have a writer's retreat. So it's like every weekend in June, I am booked solid.
Hmm. Yeah, and it actually works out fine because there's a lot of 80s metal concerts that I plan on going to in June. So, you know, it's fine by me because I'm going to be spent by the end of this month.
Did you see that? Did you see that thing about the they're calling it like the old men concert? It's Paul McCartney and oh my gosh, there's like a bunch of really old 60s guys all getting together and doing like this mega concert.
Wow.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh, I'm trying to remember who was in it, but isn't it like, it's like Paul McCartney and The Who and I forget who they all are, but it's like all those really old bands from the 60s and 70s and all getting together and doing this mega concert. And I forget what they're calling it, but.
Oh, you know, speaking of that, a show I've been watching, which is sort of along those lines, it's on Hulu now. It just went up on Hulu in the past week. It's Dennis Leary's most recent show. It's called Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. Yeah, I think it's on the FX channel.
FX, yep.
And I've been watching that. I made it through most of the first season, and I really like it. It's good. It took me a couple episodes to get into it, but him and a writing partner write all the songs on it, and the songs are pretty good. And it's about aging rock stars or aging, you know, never made it rock stars. And I enjoyed it. It's definitely good. So if you have Hulu, that's one to check out.
One of the guys I used to work with at where I work at the day job, he has a couple of different bands. He has the Federalists and Scarecrow Revival. And I went to see Scarecrow Revival a couple of Fridays ago. And their music, he calls it Americana.
Okay, sure.
And I don't really know what Americana is, John, but I like his music.
Yeah, Americana. So that is a legit musical genre. Americana is sort of it's somewhere when they really can't classify it as anything else because it doesn't quite fit comfortably into another thing. So it's sort of like a little bit of folk and a little bit of classic rock and, you know, maybe a little tinge of country and, you know. And the typically the subject matter is you know kind of more heartland, more personal kind of stuff.
There's like one like the "You and Me and the Devil Makes Three," I think was one of the songs. I have no idea if this is going to break the internet or what. Let's see what this. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Writes his own songs.
Yeah.
And it's a four-piece band.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, how do you pause this? It's a four-piece band. He plays lead. He's got a rhythm guitarist. His wife is the bass player. And they got a drummer. And what I like, because I'm a nerd, they don't actually set up a drum set.
Mm.
The drummer is sitting on a box. And he's thumping the box. And the box is the drum.
Yeah, that's
a cool thing. I want.
Yeah, I've seen that before, and they usually stick a microphone underneath the box, so you can then put that through a PA and stuff, and then you can get a lot with that.
And then the coolest thing I noticed, John, and you, I think you'll appreciate this: their mic stands included a cup holder for beer.
Yes, I've seen those before as well. I've utilized those.
And since we were at Peak to Peak Tap House. Mm-hmm. They had really good beer, so they were sitting there. They had their beer, and in my head, I'm thinking of the Blues Brothers at the end of the night when they're going to go up and say, you know, hey, we had a good set, and they're going to be like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. You owe us $120 for beer.
Yep. Yeah, I was in bands with guys where stuff like that happened. it is not an uncommon thing, but that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what we were going to talk about today, So our main topic is going to be Daredevil season 2. Patrick and I decided that we were both going to watch it anyway. So let's talk about it after we finished it. And I'm sure we'll probably get onto other sort of Marvel television properties as well. But so before we move ahead, we are going to spoil Daredevil and probably other superhero shows as well. So if you are not up to date on Daredevil season 2 and you're going to want to watch it, stop your podcast now, go and watch 13 episodes of season 2 and then come back and listen to us then. But I I really loved the first season, and I think I liked this season even more, so much so that I think like Daredevil is probably, I think, my favorite TV, currently running TV series. And I watch quite a few. I just thought they did such a good job, and it's not like I'm a Daredevil comic zombie. I never really read the books before. I mean, I'm very familiar with him as a character, but I just think it's such a good Netflix, and what they can do is such a good home for a property like that. And I think they did an amazing job. And I have a bunch of other thoughts on it, but what's your general impression of the show?
I like the show. I really do. I enjoyed the first season immensely. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the second season, but I do think the second season suffered from the Spider-Man movie issues, in that I think they tried to do too much and have too many things going on in the second season. And for a little while there, it got cluttered.
I could see that. I liked that about it, but certainly for sure. I mean, they introduced the Punisher. So a lot of the season is about the Punisher. They introduce Elektra, and a lot of it's about Elektra. And really, that could have been the only story. Either one of those could have been the only story for the season. So they did. I thought they balanced everything nicely, but I certainly understand that criticism. They had a lot going on. And then, spoiler, like Wilson Fisk pops back into it like mid-season, which was kind of a surprise to me. So, I didn't think that was going to happen.
So you really, really, John, you have Elektra, Punisher, Wilson Fisk. You have the Hand. You have Stick and his mess.
Yep.
And then they're also trying to work in a tie back to Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. They're trying to work in something for Foggy to do. Mm-hmm. And something for baby Jessica to do. Mm-hmm. I forget what her character's name is.
Karen?
Karen, thank you. Yeah. She's the baby vampire Jessica in True Blood.
Okay.
So, yeah, that... I felt bad for her character in True Blood. But anyway, they were trying to do a lot in that season and give everybody an opportunity to have a story arc. And I think they did give everybody the opportunity to have a story arc, but I almost felt breathless at the end of it.
Yeah, I could see that. The thing that, now watching Daredevil and you can even throw Jessica Jones in there. It's a very similar kind of tone. And then watching all of the DC shows that are on the CW, your Flash and Arrow. And I love all those too. Mm-hmm. The big difference, obviously, they can swear, they can have more violence and all that. And that's all fine. And I don't think you necessarily need that, but that's fine. What I think really separates Daredevil from those shows, or a show on Netflix from a network show, to me is the format freedom. You know, if you look at the episodes, some of them are a full hour, like 60 minutes. Right. Some of them are 48 minutes. And what happens is, when you have those network shows, obviously they all have to be whatever it ends up being, like,
you have to have 22 minutes available for commercials.
Right. And beyond that, those commercials come at the same time. So when you watch all those shows, there's a real consistent rhythm to it.
Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, Act 4. Yep.
It's very formulaic, and that's not necessarily bad. That's just, you fall into that rhythm, and some people would say, like, yeah, that's great. That's good to have that. And I think that's good a lot of times too. What I like about Daredevil, and what I think makes it so compelling, is there are points where you just realize this scene has been going on for like 12 minutes. Like, you know, the one that really I noticed was when Punisher captures Daredevil and he's got him chained up on the roof, and they're having this big sort of existential conversation. I don't know how long that scene is. It's got to be 10 minutes at least. And it was great. You would never see that on network, where they would just let that one scene just really breathe for that long. And it really, it really enables you to sort of get into this mood, and it sets this mood that, you know, I can't watch Daredevil during the day with like sunlight coming in. It's like, it's gotta be at night where everything is dark. Cause you probably wouldn't even be able to see half of the show with those, you know, unless you had like blackout curtains in your room. But it's like that. It just really sets this mood where you can really get sucked into it. And once I started watching, I was, you know, that's all I was watching. I put all my Hulu shows on hold for like the 2 weeks it took me to get through Daredevil, just cause I didn't want to watch anything else. I just was like, oh, this is so good. So I think having Netflix, and it could be anything, but having a streaming rather than a network just really helps set that mood and just to do certain different things. And it's like, yeah, the violence and the cursing, that's fine. You know, to me, it's like, that's kind of neither here nor there. You know, when, and I thought Daredevil does a pretty good job with it, where I don't, you know, sometimes it is a little gruesome, but I don't
Well, the whole fight scene with the bikers.
Oh yeah.
Going down the stairs.
Oh yeah. That went on forever too.
That actually, I had to stop the show.
Yeah.
And walk away for a little while.
Yeah.
Because it was that intense. And and you're right, the power of streaming, the power of Netflix, and we'll just call it alternative television, right?
Yeah.
That's getting away from the networks, even the cable networks, right? Mm-hmm. When they do something like this, there is a freedom to storytelling. There's a freedom. They're not. The box is a little bit different that they have to fit in. They don't have to do the four act show necessarily. Mm-hmm. They can if they want to. They don't have to. They can break the mold a little bit and do something different. And that is the power of Netflix, right? That's why so many people are like, hey, yeah, let's go to Netflix. What I think is interesting is people say that about Netflix. They're not necessarily saying that about Amazon yet. Mm-hmm. Amazon is still trying to find their groove. I think Netflix has found their groove with these Marvel shows.
Definitely. And I think it's great because as a television viewer, you know, we can only benefit because now, you know, Netflix was sort of the first one to really invest in the original programming.
And they've gone in with both feet now. That's like their main thing. Try to find a movie on there now.
Yeah. And the one thing that I did see over the past couple weeks, because I know, And you know what? They're right. I think it's the right move to focus on the original content because they're making really good stuff overall. Not everything's a hit because we tend to only talk about the Netflix hits. They have a bunch of original stuff that you don't hear too much about. Marco Polo apparently was not that great. Like that was one they kind of promoted a decent bit. There's Flaked, the Will Arnett one. That didn't get great reviews. I didn't watch it yet.
The Adam Sandler stuff is not getting great reviews.
But apparently people watch that, though, because they're kind of okay with it. Yeah, but
they did like a six-movie deal with him.
Yeah, and he's on two movies with it. But you know what? I think people are watching it. So, you know, I mean, I don't know if they're going to renew his deal. But there's that series Love. Now that one got some pretty good reviews. So that's one I'll probably end up watching eventually. So they have ones that aren't, you know, blockbusters, but I think it's another new thing that they usually put their original stuff out on Friday. I feel like that's their strategy is like, hey man, you need to binge on something this weekend. Here's 10 episodes of something brand new. Bam. In your face. Don't leave your house this weekend, jerk. You know, so I feel like they throw that out.
I never knew that Netflix was so controversial. I mean,
oh, they're
calling
aggressive.
People names. And,
they don't like their audience. So sometimes with those shows, they get that push the first weekend they're out and then you don't hear too much about them after the fact. But they have had ones that have been really kind of, you know, almost zeitgeist kind of shows, all the Marvel stuff, you know, House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, that Bloodline show is apparently very good, Narcos. So they have a bunch of like sort of hits. But because of that, you are seeing Amazon. Now I know Amazon had hit with Transparent, like that actually won some a couple Golden Globes, I believe. I really liked Man in the High Castle. I know that's kind of a polarizing show. Yeah. Some people liked it. A lot of people didn't.
I didn't care for it.
Yeah. And that's, and that, but the good news is they're making stuff like that. So the more they make and the more kind of feedback they get from just the numbers of people watching, the better they can sort of give, you know, make better shows.
I've heard good things about like they have a detective show.
Bosch.
Yeah. Based on some books. And I've heard good things about that. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I heard that's good. My wife and I watch Mozart in the Jungle, which is like the one about the orchestra. That's a good one for what it is. Hulu's making some original stuff. I haven't, I don't know if I've really watched any of the Hulu original stuff. I feel like they're at, and I kind of consider Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu to be sort of the big three in streaming right now. And they're all slightly different in terms of, you know, their approach to it. Obviously, Hulu's big thing is they're owned by the networks. So their big thing is, hey, the episode of Arrow that aired last night is there today. So that's kind of their niche, but they're trying to get into more original stuff too. And none of it has really grabbed me to watch it. But at this point, Hulu is probably the streaming service that I use the most.
So what's going to happen when those networks start competing against Hulu? Because CBS is launching... has already launched their streaming service, and they're going to have, for example, the new Star Trek show supposedly is going to be on that streaming service and not on network TV.
Yeah.
So that means it's not going to be on Hulu either. It's going to be on their at CBS.
Mm-hmm. Well, CBS is the only network that does not partially own Hulu.
Okay.
So they're the odd man out when, Hulu, I think, was sort of developed to compete with, I guess it was Netflix.
I think it was
maybe
Netflix.
I think it was even kind of YouTube. They were sort of thinking like, hey, man, all our shows are getting pirated. Let's actually just get into this. Because remember, it was just like a on your desktop thing at first for a long time. So Hulu is owned by, I think, NBC, ABC, Fox. What's weird is like the CW shows are on there. And I think the CW is... kind of CBS.
Yeah,
So I don't know why the CW stuff is on there.
So CW used to be the WB and UPN,
right?
And then they merged, I believe, under Paramount, who is partnered with CBS, or somehow it's tied to CBS. That's why Supergirl can go from CBS to the CW.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that'll be interesting because Supergirl was not on Hulu last year because it's a CBS show, but now this year it's going to be
Netflix.
Is Supergirl on Netflix
I
now?
I thought she was.
It's not yet. I haven't seen it yet. It could be coming out very soon. It could
I
be released.
She was. Maybe I'm wrong.
It hasn't been thus far, not in the United States at least. Anyway,
it's a great Daredevil conversation, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's what we do, Patrick. Come on, man. Come on, yeah. But it's I'm assuming that Supergirl season 2 will be on Hulu because it's going to be a CW show now. So I know what you're saying in terms of you know, with CBS, they have their own service and the Star Trek show is going to be on there and on there only. So people are going to get it for that. I think what you're seeing is there's sort of streaming fatigue going on now where I think people are like, hey man, enough. I don't want to pay for another service. Like part of the reason I did this was so I can cut back on my cable bill. I don't want to have 20 streaming services to pay for and basically end up paying the same thing. So you hear every company that's like, we're starting our own streaming channel. You hear like Stars and you hear all that stuff. And I think what you're going to see is you're going to have winners and losers with it. And I think what's going to happen to the losers is that they're going to find some way to kind of consolidate and get into it. Because I think we're sort of reaching the limit. Like I pay for the big three. In a couple of weeks, I will, or maybe very soon, I'll re-up my HBO Now so I can watch Game of Thrones. But I'll probably keep it for a month or two. Blow through Game of Thrones, and I like Silicon Valley, and maybe I'll watch a couple movies.
Well, and see, I still have Dish.
Okay.
And I like Dish, and I like their Hopper. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I like their Hopper is because it will record ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox all on one tuner.
Sure.
You know, everything primetime. It's mm-hmm. called Primetime Anytime. Mm-hmm. And it will also cut out all the commercials for you. So you can sit there and you can watch shows
cool.
without commercials, except for CBS.
Mm-hmm.
CBS yeah. bought them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you watch a CBS show, you get all the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like about that is I don't have to watch it on my computer. I can watch it on any TV in the house
because mm-hmm.
it's yeah. a full home DVR.
Right, right, right.
And right now, unless you go and get, you know, something for your TVs, like Google mm-hmm. Play or something like that, or you get smart TVs throughout your house, you can't really mm-hmm. stream stuff to your TVs.
Yeah,
I mean, or you get Blu-ray players, right? And then you sign up with the services and you get, so there's like extra complicated steps. I don't know. So that's kind of why I still like having my DVR.
I think it's a perfectly good option for most people. And again, what I just said about the streaming fatigue, you may not save money with it, depending on yeah, how much you watch.
If I want to, I can actually stream from my DVR to a computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I can yeah. watch stuff on my DVR on my computer.
Right. I don't think cutting the cord is the right option for everybody, especially if you're into sports. Like, forget it. There's not a sports solution good enough yet if you want that. But for us, we were already paying for Netflix and we were already paying for Amazon Prime. The only thing that we added was Hulu. And a couple months ago, I even upgraded to the no commercials plan, mm-hmm. which that is so worth it. That I mean, that just saves you so much of your life you get back and not having to sit through the same three commercials every break. It's definitely worth right. the extra like $4 a month. So it ends up being Hulu's like $12 a month now, as opposed to like $9 a month or whatever it was, but well worth it. But it's, yeah. And what I find with it too, for me, it's nice because you watch a show and then you stop watching. You don't do a lot of just sort of couch surfing, you know, and channel surfing where you're just kind of sitting there and, you know, vegging out. Like, you actually watch a show and then you're done. Unless you get into YouTube and then yeah. you're like watching winger videos.
I like that. I like that on, you know, Saturday night, and I'm not ready to go to sleep yet, but it's getting a little late and I can just hit my DVR button and go, oh yeah, shit, I forgot. Modern Family was on.
Mm-hmm.
So I can
mm-hmm.
just go to Primetime Anytime, watch Modern Family.
Yeah. No, it's there's yeah, I don't know. There's good resort, but sort of tying this back into what we were talking about.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about Daredevil and Daredevil. You know, there's. I watched Agent Carter on Hulu, and now, of course, and depending on when you listen to this, I mean, this may be worked out either way. And everything that gets canceled now, it's just like Netflix got to make the next, you know, series. Like, that's what everyone cries. And certainly with Agent Carter, there, you can make a lot of argument that it makes a lot of sense because Marvel already has the relationship with Netflix. And
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on Netflix. I know that.
Yes, it is. Definitely.
And then they've got Jessica Jones. They've got Daredevil. They're about to have Luke Cage. They're about mm-hmm. to have Iron Fist. They're about to have the Defenders, right?
Mm-hmm. Punisher. They're going to make a Punisher series. Yeah.
So it does make sense from a fan standpoint that Agent Carter could come to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And Hayley Atwell is willing to do it. Obviously, mm-hmm. I think when you move to Netflix, there is a budgetary change. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the same thing they've talked about with Supergirl. So Supergirl was on CBS. CBS has a budget that is way different than what you're going to get on the CW.
Mm-hmm.
And so among the things that are happening with Supergirl, they're moving production to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully my friend Ramon can he's an actor and he's an author with Wordfire. Hopefully he can get a part on there. That'd be kind of cool mm-hmm. to see him on Supergirl. But they might lose Calista Flockhart.
I did see that article. Now, I haven't watched Supergirl because my only way to watch it would have been to pay for the episodes. And I'm like, it'll be on one of the streaming services eventually. But yeah, she was like the main one of the main characters in it. Yeah. And it looks like she doesn't want to move to Vancouver.
Part of her contract that she did not want to leave Los Angeles. She's like, if we shoot in Los Angeles, I'll be part of the show. And mm-hmm. so they shot it in Los Angeles, and she was Cat Grant, basically Kara's boss at Cat Grant Media. Mm-hmm. And they're moving to Vancouver. It's now up in the air as to whether or not she'll still be involved with the show, because she does not want to move to Vancouver. She wants to live in LA.
Yeah, one of the articles that I read is that what's probably the likely scenario is that she will still be on it, but it'll be in a diminished capacity. Like, she won't be on every episode, and she'll just be in a few scenes. So it's like, it sounds like, yeah, she's going to fly up there for a week, you know, film a bit, come back down to LA, and that's going to change
the entire tone of the show, because she was a huge part of that show. So mm-hmm. I don't know what that's going to do to it. The show is great, John. If you do get the opportunity to watch it, it's a great show. I loved it.
Well, like I said, I'm fairly sure it'll end up being on Hulu the second season, because it's on the CW. So if I know that, hopefully it'll go to Netflix prior to that. But if not, I'll probably just like buy the season before season two starts and catch up, because especially now they're saying that it is going to be in the Berlanti verse.
Yep. Well, it was already. They did a flash crossover. Mm-hmm. They did establish that, you know, she's on a different Earth, mm-hmm. which is something that's been happening on Flash, right?
We've had
Earth Zero and Earth Two kind of thing, or Earth One, Earth Two.
Earth One and Earth Two, yep.
And so they have established that she is, and on the Flash, one time when he was running, and through the mm-hmm. and he was in the Speed Force, you saw her.
Yep, I remember that, yeah.
And then when he put the thing on his chest to try to run faster, he ran so fast that he ran to her Earth.
Okay, yeah.
And she had to help him get back.
Right.
Which was interesting. And that's the clip that they're using now on the CW, where he's like, I'm the Flash. Do you know the Arrow? Do you know Firestorm? Do you know – and he's Black Canary. Do you know – and he starts naming off all the heroes, and she's like, no.
Yeah.
And so now they're going to be able to do more stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're all there on the CW, which is cool. And I'm looking forward to that. It'll be interesting. It's these little mini verses that they've got now is very interesting to me, because you have they established that Daredevil was part of the Avengers cinematic universe. You knew that because it, the first season took place in the aftermath of the Battle of New York.
Mm hmm.
And it was all about how Hell's Kitchen got really, really shit on following mm-hmm. the Battle of New York. And it was just, you know, it was the Wild Wild West mm-hmm. at that point. So we know that Daredevil is part of that, which means that Daredevil is part of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. universe, because they are also part of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Agent Carter could slide right in.
Yeah.
I kid you not. Oh. She could. Come on.
Yeah, I think it could work. And, you know, the only downside, I've seen a bunch of articles written on this lately about how, I don't know how you say his name, is it Kevin Feige? I don't know if you say Feige or Feig, or it's like F-I-E-G-E.
Yeah, I've never heard it actually pronounced.
I have, but I don't remember if that's the right way or not. But anyway, he's
the guy that did the coup.
He's the one that – Kevin Feige is the sort of the head of Marvel, the cinematic
universe. Right, he did the coup. He did the coup. He took it away from Marvel Entertainment Group, mm-hmm. and he now reports directly to Disney instead of someone at Marvel.
Okay.
Because he wanted to keep it structured where everything had a continuity.
Yeah. So he's even gone on record as saying, like, yeah, the TV shows are in the same universe, but – you know, don't expect too much in terms of, you know.
No, I mean, they did a lot with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the beginning. They had
Lady Sif.
Come on.
That was great. I love that. Yeah.
She was on a couple times, right?
Yeah.
And so they did some tie-ins there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect to see Spider-Man on Daredevil.
No. Which would be awesome.
It would, because that happens all the time in the comics.
Right. And I understand. Look, and the thing that Kevin Feige said, which I get it totally. It's like, look, the way that movies are shot in terms of their schedule and the way that a TV show is shot, it's really hard to sync them up, because a movie is shot and edited, and it takes, you know, a year or a couple years to put it all together. You know, TV shows, the turnaround is so much faster. So to integrate them is difficult. I would love to see, you know, sort of the ABC shows and the Netflix shows try to, you know, interact a little more. I think that would be really cool because they seem tonally so different that it would be really interesting to see like a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent show up on Daredevil or Daredevil make an appearance in S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. I think that'd be super cool.
It would be. And you know who I kind of feel bad for is, what is her name? She's Mockingbird.
Oh, Adrian.
Yeah, I feel bad for her because she's had now three potential pilots get trashed.
She was Wonder Woman, right? Yeah.
They had a Mockingbird pilot, and they decided instead to wrap her into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and so she was doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then she did so well, they said, let's get another Mockingbird pilot, and so they kind of wrote her out of the show to do this other show, and that did not get picked up.
Yeah.
So I almost wonder if she couldn't be I feel sorry for her, but I'm wondering if she couldn't be the floating character that appears in the Netflix stuff as Mockingbird.
That would be a really interesting, right? Yeah, I haven't heard anybody else posit that. That's a really cool idea because I thought she was great. Now
she was great. I didn't like her at first because I knew the Mockingbird character from the comics from the West Coast Avengers. That's where I really came to know Mockingbird when she was married to Clint, to Hawkeye. And they co-founded the West Coast Avengers. That's kind of the Mockingbird that I knew. And she was different from that character, but it took me a little while to warm up to her. But I did, you know, I started to like her as a character. And then I was just like, I was on the Mockingbird train. I was like, yep, this is a good character. She kicks ass. You know, she doesn't take shit from people. And I really started to like her as a character. And I was blown away when they decided to do, and we're totally spoiling Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now too, by the way.
Yeah.
But they essentially had the Mission Impossible disavowed thing, right?
Right.
They got caught and they had to be disavowed. Mm-hmm. And that was a very, very emotional, poignant scene when they're all in the bar together. Oh my gosh. You know, I was just like, oh my God. But, yeah, I could see her and that her ex-husband, the two of them as like I'm going to use an angel thing, like rogue demon hunters. You know, they could be like the rogue agents out there just doing stuff for Marvel. And they could appear on Daredevil. They could go after Punisher. You know, they could be chasing down Jessica Jones. I mean, that could be a really nice tie-in to the ABC shows.
I think that'd be great. You know, what I found kind of interesting because they were probably, you know, two of my favorite characters on S.H.I.E.L.D. But ironically, when they left, there was maybe four or five episodes left in the season after that. Those were like the best episodes. I feel like because they had a smaller cast to work with, those last bunch of episodes were much more focused.
They amped it up. Yeah.
Yeah. It is like, they're great, but you can't get you always see it. The cast just gets too big eventually. And then you have people sitting on the sidelines and, you know, so I don't know what the limit is for the number of characters you can have on a TV show. But there seems to be a breaking point where it's like, okay, it's too many now. Now it's really out of focus.
Have you seen Civil War?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we're going to spoil a little bit of Civil War here. So if you haven't seen Civil War yet, go away.
Yeah.
John, Civil War is a better Avengers movie than Age of Ultron. I almost want to say it's better than the first Avengers movie because there's so many characters and everybody's handled really, really well.
I have that movie is a, well, it's going to have an unintended pun. I was like, that movie is a Marvel.
Excelsior.
I don't know any other movie that the structure is so unusual and there's so many characters.
Yeah.
And it's a longish movie. It's like 2 hours and 25 minutes or whatever it is. But that's pretty standard for a movie like that these days to have a near 2.5 hour movie. The fact that there are so many characters and their arcs all work. And every, like, Black Panther has a good arc. Spider-Man has a nice little arc. Iron Man, Captain America, like, everybody kind of has their own little arc, and they all work and they all interact, and it's a nice balance. And I have no idea how they pulled that off, because that many characters in a movie should be a disaster. Mm-hmm. It should be a train wreck. And it's amazing what they did. I mean, even, like, think about the Spider-Man arc in there. It's just like, out of nowhere, hey, we're in Queens.
Yep.
We're going to introduce Spider-Man now.
And Hot Aunt May.
And Hot Aunt May. And we're going to spend 10 minutes here hanging out. And Peter, like, what? And it was awesome. It was like such a great, like, tonal change, and it felt great. And then they brought him in on the action. And what I find really exciting about that in terms of Spider-Man is that, okay, he's been Spider-Man for 6 months. So that means the movie is not going to be an origin story.
No.
It's like, look, all right, we know, you know, bitten by spider, his uncle got killed, he feels guilty about it. Let's move on. And I think that is
And Iron Man's going to be in it.
And that's going to be great too. Like, their chemistry was awesome in that. And no, that's, that to me is one of the most exciting things about it, is like, oh no, they're just going to hit the ground running with something else. And that actor is awesome. He's so great. Like, it, you know, I didn't really buy it. I remember when they had the one of the trailers for Civil War, you know, the first one that Spider-Man appears
hey,
in.
Everybody.
And, and I'm like, what is, they get a 7-year-old kid? Like, I found it really weird and off-putting. But when you meet him as Peter Parker, you're like, oh no, this is perfect. This
you
is
know who he reminded me a little bit of is the guy who's playing Chekhov in the new Star Trek movies.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I'm
Anton something or other. He reminded me a little of him. You know, he's got that really boyish look, and and he played the awkward right, and he it was really well done. But my point is, you know, how many damn characters are in that movie, and they pulled it off so well. Everybody had a good story. Everybody had something to say. Everybody got their moment, which didn't really happen in Avengers.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron.
No. Oh, no. Age of Ultron is, I would describe that as a fun movie. It's like, it's always fun. It's like, look, it's all our favorite heroes battling.
But here's the thing. Age of Ultron, one of the criticisms that I saw repeatedly about that is that it ignored Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
It completely ignored Winter Soldier, that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel like the individual movies are doing a better job of storytelling. Like the individual, this is the Captain America movie. This is the Iron Man movie. This is the Thor movie. Those are doing better at telling a solid story. And then when they bring them all together for a quote unquote Avengers movie, it all goes to shit.
Well, with the Ultron, I think for sure. I think the first Avengers movie is really good. But yeah, because you're right. Because with the Thor movie that's coming out, like the Hulk's going to be in that.
Oh, they're saying it could potentially be Planet Hulk.
Yeah, and that's going to end up sort of tying, you know, to kind of Guardians of the Galaxy and the Infinity War. It's going to start again because it's like, now we're not on Earth. So now we're out there. And I think that's great. I don't know. I mean, I think they're doing just, I think it's just kick. I mean, I just think about it. It's like, if this stuff was going on when I was a kid,
are you aware of Loot Crate?
Yeah. Well, they were talking about that, when we were on Current Geek recently.
They have their own version. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's another one though. It's like the one that started it. It's called Loot Crate and you basically pay a monthly fee.
Right.
And they send you a box of stuff and you never know what's going to be in the box.
Right.
And, recently Loot Crate sent, and the box went out, and a very special thing was in there. It was an Infinity glove.
Okay.
An Infinity gauntlet that was an oven mitt.
That is so awesome.
And yeah, that's what a lot of people are like, oh my God, this is so cool. There's pictures of it. Like, it's supposed to be rated for like 500 degrees, but people were using it to take a cookie sheet out of the oven. And it was melting and ripping and tearing, and some poor guy got his hand burned. And so they're like reissuing it to all these people But when you mentioned the Infinity Gauntlet thing, it reminded me of that because it looked like it, right? It had all the rings, all the stones and everything in it.
Right.
But it was an oven mitt. It was such a cool idea. I give them props for that, but apparently not very well done.
No, not the highest quality.
So Daredevil had Punisher in it, had Elektra in it. I thought they did Elektra really well this time. I thought they did a Punisher that was really well done. He was good too. I was a fan of the
Thomas Jane.
The Thomas Jane version in the movies. I thought he did a pretty good job. I know that not everybody liked that version. I did. And I liked the short film that they did with him, like The Laundry or something like that is what it was called, where he's not actually wearing the costume. He's just at a laundromat. And he ends up beating the crap out of these gangbangers. And then he finally, he pulls his shirt with the skull on it out of the laundry. And you realize that it's the Punisher. So I did like his version. The guy that came after, I did not really care for. The Ray, whatever his name was. Punisher Warzone or something they called it. That one, not so much. But this guy was the guy from The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I thought he did a decent job. He was equal parts sincere and nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Karen obviously kind of identified with him or felt empathy for him. And I think that screwed her a little bit throughout the course of the show. A lot of people said that Foggy was the star of this season because he just stuck to his guns and he was all about the law and he was all about, justice through the justice system kind of stuff. And he just was not taking any shit from Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a couple things I didn't like. One was the ultimate fight scene where in the middle of the battle, it just so happens that Daredevil's mask falls off. And from the rest of the battle, now you can see the actor's face. That's the Hollywood conceit that they tend to do now. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to punch you in the face and your mask just happens to fall off. And that whole thing that just bugs me. It always does. But that would never happen in the comics. They would if their mask came off, they would die for their mask and put it back on as quickly as possible because just to protect their secret identity. And they never do that in the movies because the actors want their faces to be seen. Okay, whatever. The fighting was intense throughout the whole thing. But it did get a little bit muddled with the hand, the Punisher, the Elektra stuff, the Elektra and Stick and Daredevil. And I don't know, but they did, like you said, I think they did a whole episode where it was just Wilson Fisk.
Yeah.
In prison.
Yeah.
You hardly ever see that on network television. They would be like, no, we have to get the stars in, we have to get the main characters into the episode. No, they did it like all Wilson Fisk.
Yeah. No, I think, and that reminds me that there was an episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. that was all of, is it Simmons? Yeah, Simmons is the girl.
Yeah.
Where it's all her on that one planet.
Yep.
So I thought that was really a cool, because you don't see that really hardly ever. So, yeah. So I think that they're doing great. We always want to keep these episodes to like 30 minutes and they always end up being like an hour because, we yak.
So then bring it home, John. What's your Daredevil takeaway?
Oh, I'm up on it all the way. Like I think all of your, things that you didn't love about it or just have concerns about, I think they're all valid. But to me, just tonally, I think they nail it. I think it's just it's a really good balance of dramatic stuff with the fighting. And, I just love the mood it sets. And I really like how they are creating, we talked about the overall Marvel universe, but I think within the Netflix shows, I think they're going to be really tied together quite closely. And we've already seen that with Jessica Jones. And so I think Luke Cage is coming out in the fall. And Iron Fist sounds like it's going to be good too. And so I just love the fact that, we get to look forward to 13 episodes of a Marvel show, it looks like it's going to be probably like every 6 months we're going to get, you know, the next one. So I loved it. I thought it was great, and I look forward to Luke Cage, which is nice.
I think they did a little sleight of hand on us in that the trailers focused a lot on Daredevil in the church with the priest. It made you think that they were going to do the Frank Miller thing, you know, where he's constantly battling with his Catholicism and his guilt. And they did not really do that. They had a couple of scenes like in the beginning and at the end to like to end cap it. But that was not a theme throughout that I got from the show.
No, I only really remember like one scene with the priest and stuff. Yeah. Or, you know, it was a bigger part in the first season. They didn't really get very far with that. But again, like that's like you said, because they had a lot going on. So that was probably something that they just, you know, gave a little bit and that was it.
And what did you think about the you know, like him suddenly being able to hear the hand? Or sense the hand, like he couldn't for the longest time, and then, you know, he can hear Stick whispering to him, and it's almost like his power amps up.
Yeah, that was a little hand wavy.
Yeah,
I kind of felt that way at the time. It's like, well, yeah, I thought he couldn't.
Yeah,
now he can. That was certainly a little convenient. Brushed over. Didn't you know earn it?
Yeah,
as much as you know, quibbles. Quibbles.
And Carrie Ann Moss.
I thought that was a nice
way to tie it back to Jessica Jones.
And organically. It wasn't like, and here is someone from one of our other Netflix shows. You know, it was like, well, Foggy's a lawyer. There's a lot of this show is about being in the law firm, and she's a lawyer in New York too. So it's totally feasible that they would cross paths. And apparently she's gonna be
also
in Iron Fist and possibly even like a regular on Iron Fist. That was one of the articles that I saw. So that I think is really cool, because I think she does a great job, and that's a really interesting character to have him in that universe too. So yeah. All good stuff, man. All good stuff. All right, man. Well, everybody. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode, whether you're listening to it on the Patreon early one, and if you're listening to this in the regular feed, hey, consider becoming one of our patrons. Just go over to patreon.com/functionalnerds and you can get early access to this, and you can watch us record our episodes live and all sorts of cool stuff. So check that out as well. That's all I got this week. Patrick, anything else you want to tell people before we wrap it up?
I have a sort of a final art on my book cover. I can't share it yet, but it's awesome, and Galen Dara is the coolest person in the world.
Agreed. I saw it, and I know Galen, and yes, agreed on both fronts. So excited for Patrick that this is happening for him. Mm-hmm. So, all right, everybody, have a great one, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sunsmoke. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?